Blog Talk Radio.
I am the best in the world at what I do.
Give me the microphone and go away.
The best in pro wrestling talk.
And that's the bottom line. Because Stone Cold Texas. This right here is the future of wrestling.
And it begins now.
Can you dig it?
Welcome aboard. You have tuned in to the Ken Reedy Show, the best in pro wrestling talk. Thank you all for tuning in. 347-838-9815 is the number for you to call. You want to talk anything in the world of professional wrestling, head on over to facebook.com/the Ken Reedy Show. If you want to participate right now in the show chat, each and every Monday evening during Monday Night Raw, we have a Raw chat going on right there. So I talk Raw on Monday nights. Again, that's facebook.com/the Ken Reedy Show, at The Ken Reedy Show, if you're a Twitter type, and you can head on over to the website, thekenreedyshow.com. We got blogs, we got info, and you can listen to the show right there. So check out the website. That's thekenreedyshow.com. Just let everyone know, this is like the start. We're almost there, but we're going on a little vacation, so we're taking two shows off. I may be starting my vacation slightly early. Having an adult beverage while doing the show tonight, but this is the last show for just two episodes, taking a couple episodes off this Tuesday and next Sunday, going on vacation. So check out some archived shows, thekenreedyshow.com. As always, I got my tag team partner on the line. We're going to talk some wrestling. Dave, how are you doing this fine Sunday evening?
Talk. And I've been unmuted again, I think. I just heard the... Am I here? Can you hear me?
You're there. You're unmuted.
Okay, all right, good. Because, you know, these summer months, you know, the gods of technology seem to have this thing against me, you know. But I'm here and I'm ready to go.
Yeah, I just got... Man, this week, can I tell you, I mean, it's interesting how, you know, vacation kind of coincided with things, because things all of a sudden popped up this week. It was a crazy week this week. Just to let you guys know, and this week we booked this a little while ago. It's not wrestling related, but those of you who know me know that wrestling is a passion, and we do the show every week. But I, you know, I got a lot of things going on, and love music, and I got a couple bands I'm involved with. My primary band, I guess, SRO, Standing Room Only. We got called in to do a radio interview this past week, and we're on there because we're discussing. We've been booked to do a big concert in Colorado, August 17th. It's an anti-bullying show headlined by Vertical Horizon. And we're really excited about that. It's a stadium show, so we're on the bill. If you're into the anti-bullying thing, you're into that cause, Stand Up, Speak Out is the charity, so you can get involved with them. And we're on the Gumbo Yaya radio program, so check them out. They have a Facebook page. They have a website. It's Gumbo Yaya, which is a Louisiana kind of saying about getting together family and friends and everyone talking at the same time. That's what Gumbo Yaya is all about. But cool guys, cool to be on the radio for the first time, heard our music played on the radio. So it was kind of a neat moment. So we're doing that August 17th. So get out there. I just wanted to bring that up because get out there if you want to participate in the cause, donate to the charity, Stand Up, Speak Out, so go check that out. Back to wrestling-related stuff, I went to the FWE show, Thank you guys at FWE again, Family Wrestling Entertainment. They provided us with Chris Masters, who gave us a great interview this past Tuesday. Went to their show. Real good show. Had a lot of stars as well as some independent guys, but a real fun show. Got to thank them for letting me come in and check out the show. I got to say, at that show, that was the last independent show, as far as I know, the last independent show that RVD, Rob Van Dam, will be doing before he joins the WWE. And got to say, you wonder, you hear the stories, some criticism in TNA, whether you're a fan or not of his work. Some may say his work rate kind of dipped a bit in TNA. He looked good. He looked real good on Friday night. Him versus Tommy Dreamer. Of course, the action spilled out into the stands. There were garbage cans, foreign objects, people being thrown off bleachers. Your typical kind of thing if those two guys are getting together. But I couldn't tell you, man. RVD just looked great. He looked leaned out. Slimmer. He looked real good. So excited to see what he's going to do in the WWE, but definitely looked like a much more motivated and focused RVD. So excited to see what he's going to be doing when he comes to the WWE. And that was Friday night. Saturday night, I trekked on out to Philadelphia to catch House of Hardcore, HOH, Tommy Dreamer's promotion. Those guys put on, again, a tremendous show. Tommy Dreamer, he might be the best promoter in the business. Phenomenal show. He was on the show a couple weeks ago promoting House of Hardcore. Thank you to him again for giving us some time. Man, it was good stuff. It was good. I got to, it was funny. I ran into Tommy Dreamer, and he actually remembered me. We had met one time before, and he's like, "Hey, man, you look different. You working out?" It's like, that's cool. Tommy Dreamer noticed that I'm hitting the gym. So that kind of made my weekend. Got to finally, after interviewing him, got to meet Bill Apter, which was really cool. He asked to interview me, which was a big ego stroke. But all in all, it was a tremendous show. Real good work by everyone involved. They really should be proud of what they're doing over there at HOH. And at the end of the show, they did say that there will be an HOH 3. So I can't stress enough, if you're a wrestling fan, you like going out to live shows, if you can get to HOH, I highly recommend getting a ticket. I've been to both HOH shows, and they deliver on a great, great show. And, it should be really, really cool. So you want to check that all out. And, I'm not going to get into everything, all the particulars. Two really great shows, a lot of wrestling over the course of the weekend. A lot of talented stuff, but if you want to get the nitty-gritty, all the little specifics and all the stuff I learned being around and part of, like, both shows, I actually, I don't do it often, but I kind of decided I had to jump back into the blogging thing, so because there was just so much that happened this weekend. So go over to KenReedyShow.com, check out my new blog on the 20 things I learned this weekend by going to FWE and HOH. But both promotions, be proud of themselves, put on some real good shows. Saw a ton of wrestling this weekend, so it was good stuff. So if you're there and want to call in and talk about your thoughts on both those shows, by all means, 347-838-9815. But to get into what we saw on TV this week, interesting stuff coming out of the WWE. It seems like right now they are firing on all cylinders. Storylines are working. Guys are working. They're performing. Matches are kicking ass. And, we're going through our pre-show meeting and we're thinking, hey, there's so much to talk about on Tuesday. And we didn't hit everything because everything was so good this past Monday night. And one of the subjects we kind of, what we're remiss about is kind of hitting the former world champion Dolph Ziggler, where they're going with him now, continuing the program with Del Rio, using the concussion angle a bit. It's interesting now, Ziggler, after at best a mediocre, pretty much, broken up by injury, I understand, but not a good title run. He's back to being the pursuer for the world title. Dave, what are your thoughts on everything surrounding Dolph Ziggler?
Well, our listeners know, I'm a big Dolph Ziggler fan for his in-ring work. I was disappointed at first when he lost the title. When I watched the paper the other night, last week, I was very disappointed they lost the title because I was like, he didn't have enough time to get this run-up off the ground. Granted, the injury took place. But then, when they did the show, when Del Rio attacked Ziggler and they kept, showing the replay and playing off, the head injury with the concussion, I was like, okay, this kind of, all right, now I can see why they did it, and it's not that bad. And Ziggler's gotten positive reactions due to his in-ring work and his style amongst, a large portion of the audience. So they did the famous double turn in the home of the double turn, Chicago, Illinois. They're capitalizing on a very important and newsworthy topic in sports, being concussions. And seeing as that Dolph Ziggler had one recently, it makes sense all in the world to not center, but add, that the concussion layer to this storyline with Alberto Del Rio. And plus, Del Rio's storyline, Del Rio's babyface run, it started off good and solid in the beginning. It was working really well. They had a good string of, shows where he was, heavily involved in the show in large Latino markets. However, it didn't really seem to catch on, after WrestleMania, and then especially when he lost the title to Dolph Ziggler. And it made sense, too, in the terms of, he capitalized on Ziggler being hurt, just like Ziggler did the same thing to him when he cashed in Money in the Bank. I'm very interested in seeing where it's going to go. The one thing that, kind of came to my mind, too, was Dolph Ziggler, his in-ring work has pretty much gotten him over for the most part in his tenure in the WWE. And he really hasn't had a rivalry that gets him over the hump and onto the next level that's really set himself apart. It's always been his in-ring work and, a good storyline and a good rivalry, a memorable one, really helps your career, especially if you are trying to make it to the next level. And I think Dolph Ziggler and Del Rio could have that, and Ziggler could eventually, I'm not saying he's not a main event guy now, but he's not heavily featured, but being that his popularity is growing and they have turned him babyface, this particular angle with Del Rio could eventually boost him up the ladder and he'd be a main event player for years to come, if not the rest of his career. His in-ring work alone, to me and to probably most fans, solidifies that he is a main event player, but in some cases a storyline and it just could give you that extra, and a rivalry could give you that extra, oomph, like Austin had The Rock and, Cena had Orton and, Hogan had Piper and now Ziggler could have Del Rio, kind of thing. I'm not saying that this particular storyline could be, and rivalry could be on those levels, but like, the old adage, the Batman needed Joker and vice versa. This could be, something that Ziggler and Del Rio could play off really well and Ziggler could eventually move up the ladder. But I like it. What I don't like is the rumors I've been hearing that they might give him the Money in the Bank briefcase and have him cash in against Del Rio, which I don't think really makes a whole lot of sense considering he still has an automatic rematch clause to face Del Rio. But I mean, that's something that we'll have to figure out as the next couple of weeks go on, heading into the Money in the Bank pay per view.
Yeah, I mean, that's purely speculation, and I agree with you. I don't like it. I don't want to see. There are times. I mean, look, you go through. We do this show. You criticize. You praise. Sometimes, the criticism's unfounded. Sometimes you're on the money. I mean, that's what we do. And there are times where we were kind of critical about, Ziggler and how long he had that briefcase and how long it took him to cash in. Now, look, I'll be the first to admit I complained at times. I wanted to see him finally cash in. But you know what? When he finally did cash in, the payoff almost seemed worth the wait. What they built up over time. And I'm a big enough man to admit that, all right, you know, maybe I was wrong in my criticism and the wait was okay. You know, right now it's almost like it would just be too much. Like, oh, God, we're back to Ziggler and waiting for Ziggler to cash in. And you know, we're both big Ziggler fans. I don't need to go back to that. And even if, you know, like you're saying, he's got a mandatory rematch clause. I mean, we all know that in the pro wrestling world, he's got his rematch. But the thing is, even if he doesn't have a rematch, and even if he loses his rematch, at this point, he still should remain in the world championship picture. You know, looking at the Money in the Bank, that's something that should be used to elevate someone to that main event, that championship picture. Ziggler's in it. He's there. I don't think he needs the briefcase, and I don't really want to see him with the briefcase again. As much as, you know, it was definitely a big part of his character, I don't know if I really need to see him running around with that briefcase again. I agree with you that, a program, a substantial program, is definitely something that needs, and every great is going to have that classic program that they run with someone, and he's got a classic nemesis right here. The interesting thing about this is kind of the WWE talking out of both sides of their mouths, and in the grand scheme of things, again, it's wrestling, we know it's wrestling, we know it's scripted, so, but in the context of the wrestling world, it's supposed to be real life in there. You know, I mean, it's scripted, but in there, in that world, it's supposed to, you know, be real. And you hear all this stuff that the WWE is kind of getting serious about the concussion thing. I mean, they're clamping down. They're making sure that the concussion thing doesn't get out of hand. They're pulling people off TV and they're testing them and they're staying off TV for a while if they have a concussion. I mean, every sort of cautionary step that they can take, they are taking right now as far as concussions, which is a good thing. However, it's interesting that in talking about this and putting it out there that they're taking concussions seriously and really like putting themselves as like the leader as far as managing their athletes who suffer from concussions, the storyline is odd to me. As much as I'm enjoying the hatred and the heat and the real kind of, you know, visceral feel you get between these two competitors, you know, it's like if this was real, Ziggler would be out for like the next year, the amount of times he's taking blows to the head. I mean, every time he's in a physical confrontation with Del Rio, Del Rio's kicking him in the head again. So it's interesting to me that all right, you know, so Del Rio got him again on SmackDown. I'm assuming we'll probably see Ziggler back on Monday night. Is he going to be cleared to compete? Is this going to be something that he's not going to be cleared to compete and they're going to, you know, keep this working as far as the storyline goes? Because as far as having a concussion, if he just got over concussion and then gets kicked in the head, he probably has another one and would probably have to take some extended time off again. So it's kind of odd to me a little bit on how they're taking concussion seriously, and yet they're putting this spotlight on this guy continuing to take blows to the head and come back. So I'm curious to see where the storyline goes, where they're going to go with the concussions. I think it's very relevant, very timely, using the concussions. I'm not sure, like maybe we need Ziggler to block a few more of these blows to the head so we're not seeing him get kicked in the head at every given turn. Your thoughts on the concussions, Dave?
I understand and agree with where you're coming from. You know, he comes back and then he gets kicked in the head. I mean, I will say this though, they've been consistent in, you know, in terms of like the commentary and keeping the viewer informed. You know, I remember watching SmackDown Friday where during the Del Rio Jericho match, you know, when they mentioned Dolph Ziggler, when they showed the highlight of when he came out on Raw and attacked Del Rio, they had mentioned that Ziggler is cleared to return on Monday to active competition. Michael Cole had mentioned that. Then, after the segment where Ziggler ran in and, you know, he attacked Del Rio, he took a codebreaker from Jericho, then eventually he took another kick to the head from Del Rio. Later on in the show, Michael Cole had mentioned that they had spoken, you know, they had gotten word from trainers or doctors or whoever and said that Dolph Ziggler It's uncertain if he's now cleared to compete. They're running tests, blah blah blah. So they're being consistent with it in terms of like the severity of the concussions and, you know, like you just said, real life. If he came back, like, you know, from a concussion, he gets hit. Like I said, there's consistency in the commentary and keeping the viewer informed. You know, like you said, it's timely that it's happening with Ziggler because he had a concussion. You know, I don't know how long it's going to go for because at some point he's going to have to get in the ring, you know, and get his payback on Del Rio. You know, no pun intended. But, you know, he's going to have to get his payback on Del Rio. I mean, how long are they going to keep him from, quote-unquote, in storyline terms, competing? That's the real question. Are you going to milk this for a month and have him make sporadic appearances on TV, or are you going to bite the bullet and actually have him have a match, and then that will be, you know, I could see them doing a storyline where they have him go to the doctors and say, you know, I want to get back in there, and they tell him no, you know, and then they clear him, and then he has a match on Raw, let's just for argument's sake, against, you know, some random person, and he wins, and that kind of proves that he could get back to more active competition, so to speak. So it's almost like he's fighting his way to get back on the roster and being cleared to wrestle. But I also think that the reason why that they keep doing, you know, the kick, I mean, it's only been 1 week, but the reason why they keep having Del Rio and, you know, guys like Jericho, you know, giving him quote-unquote headshots, so to speak, is because it's a sensitive subject, considering he just had a concussion, and the people are going to be, you know, more sympathetic that he just got hurt in the head again. And it also makes Del Rio look more vicious by kicking him in the head. They're really going full swing with this heel turn now that they did the double turn in Chicago last week. So I think they want to draw more heat on Del Rio. If he did have any babyface steam, he would lose it completely by, you know, attacking a man who has suffered severe head trauma. So that's why I think that they've gone there. But we'll see what happens. You know, we got 3 weeks till Money in the Bank. Who knows if Dolph Ziggler is going to be a part of, you know, the Money in the Bank match, or if he's going to be involved in a title match. I don't know, but I'm interested in it. I like the Dolph Ziggler, you know, babyface turn. The one thing I'm interested in is how they're going to handle his association with AJ and Big E Langston. Because if you noticed last week on both Raw and SmackDown, Dolph Ziggler was not in any segments with either of those two. He came out by himself. So I think that this is also, along with his feud with Del Rio, a slight transition of getting him away from those two. To be honest with you, I don't know if we'll see a full turn, you know, or a full split up between the two. If you remember back in, you know, 1999, when Triple H and China were together, and China started going after the Intercontinental title, they never really had, like, a breakup. They just kind of split them apart without even really mentioning it, and then, you know, they both went their separate ways. We might see something like this. That wouldn't surprise me. But then again, considering the reaction that AJ had after the match on Sunday, we'll probably see some sort of friction and a turn somewhere down the road between Dolph Ziggler and her, and possibly Big E Langston.
Yeah, maybe we have something where Big E Langston either costs him his rematch, or if he's in the Money in the Bank match, you know, costs him the Money in the Bank match. But I mean, your thoughts on the briefcase, though, Dave? I mean, is there any scenario that is enjoyable to him? I mean, look, he's Dolph Ziggler, so I get it. Like, he's going to be entertaining. I'm taking nothing away from him. But I mean, do you think that the pursuit again with the briefcase would just be a bit much, that happening all over again?
No, I mean, I don't know. Like, I don't want to see him with the briefcase. The stories and rumors I've heard is that if he were to get the briefcase, he cashes in at SummerSlam against Del Rio. So there's not that long of a wait. In my opinion, I wouldn't like to see that scenario. I wouldn't mind seeing if he tries to go after, you know, Del Rio, and they tell him, no, you can't have a match with him. I wouldn't be surprised if, you know, maybe Vince or, you know, one of the 45 general managers of Raw and SmackDown tell him that, you know, well, if you want an opportunity, we'll put you in the Money in the Bank ladder match. If you can survive a match like that, then we'll give you an opportunity at Dolph Ziggler. If you can win that match, you know, then you can get your, you can have your shot at Del Rio. I could see them kind of doing something like that, where they might want to test his, you know, his status, you know, head trauma wise, being involved in a match like that. Then again, he just did get over a concussion. I don't know if you do want him involved in a ladder match with seven other guys. And like I said earlier, it's something that's to elevate somebody. And I think, you know, Dolph Ziggler, like you said, he's in the world title picture already. He doesn't need that briefcase. He doesn't need this to facilitate that storyline. Give it to somebody else who might need it, somebody who's stuck somewhere right now, and they're not sure what to do with. But giving them that briefcase, it's an automatic storyline for however long you want it to be, until they cash in and for the championship. So I don't like the idea. No, let's not go with Dolph Ziggler winning the Money in the Bank briefcase again.
Yeah, agreed. 347-838-9815. Crazy week of wrestling. Whatever you want to talk about, Raw, Impact, SmackDown, you're at one of the shows this past weekend. Give us a call. Let's talk some wrestling. We're going to go right out to the phones right now because we got lots of people on hold. Thank you for tuning in. Let's go right up. We'll get Tony on the line. Tony, are you there?
Hey, guys.
How's it going, buddy?
All right. So, I've just hearing about what to do with Dolph. Yeah, I think if I think he should get a just give him a rematch for the title, you know, because I mean, you know, it's like having him in the Money in the Bank and then holding the briefcase again for another year. That happened already. You know, it happened a year ago, so we don't get to see him walking around with it again. As far as what the split with him and AJ or whatever, I don't know, you know, what they'll do there. She might say something like, oh, she wants to... You know, like she was hoping to be like the power couple, you know, like they're both having the champions, and then he went ahead and lost his belt, and then she just might do something heelish and have like Big E do something. I don't know what they'll do but like I said, I mentioned too there, I did think the double turn was really well done. I thought they did a good job with that, and then next night on Raw, I thought the Rios promo by Wyatt of Del Rio's promo was good. What I don't get is like on SmackDown, after Jericho and Del Rio, you know, it's like, you know, Dolph runs in and causes Jericho to lose by DQ, and then Jericho lays out Ziggler. I was just like, I just didn't really. Yeah, it's like, are they going to throw him in the title picture too? Or are they going to put him in the Money in the Bank world title match? Or what are they doing? I don't know.
Well,
hold on, Tony.
Let's pretend that you're Dolph Ziggler and I'm Chris Jericho, okay? We'll role play here for a minute. Chris Jericho is facing the world heavyweight champion in a match. 9 times out of 10, if you're in a non-title match and you beat the world heavyweight champion, your stock rises and you're closer to getting a title shot. Dolph Ziggler cost him that title shot. Well, he gets mad and he code breaks Dolph Ziggler. One plus one equals two. You know what I mean? Like he's upset that he lost his opportunity, because if he beat Del Rio, then he's in the running for a title shot. You know how they always do that? The non-title matches, a guy beats a champion and all of a sudden, well, he could be in the running for a title shot, and then they eventually go with it. You know what I mean?
I didn't think of that, because usually, as far as that stuff goes, I didn't think of that, so I don't know are they going to do a rematch with Jericho, or are they going to, like, do Jericho Dolph again now, or what are they going to, I don't know what they're going to do.
Wrestling right now is... It's weird with the information that's out there and the internet and, you know, those of us who are fans and are always, like, out there and researching and knowing. And, you know, everyone knows that Jericho's leaving. You know, everyone knows that Fozzy's going on tour and, you know, Jericho's not going to be around much. So it's – I get what you're saying, Tony, that it's – there's – all right, they're going to feud with – Jericho and Dolph, or they're going to go with go in Del Rio, or are we going to go some sort of triple threat at some, you know, at some point? We all know that Jericho is leaving, so the suspense is not there, really. So, you know, it's weird, like, exactly are they going with Jericho? It makes sense in the moment, like Dave is saying, well, you cost me my potential shot. So now I'm pissed and I'm going to give you the code breaker, but we all know he's leaving soon. So it doesn't loan itself to being like suspenseful. Ooh, is he going to, you know, go after the title and get the title? Jericho's not getting the title because he's going to be gone. So, I'm curious what they're going to do with this whole thing, but, whatever they're going to do is going to be a way to transition Jericho off of TV for a little bit.
Yeah, I don't know, whatever that may be.
Well, here's a point I could make real quick, is that every time that Jericho has taken sabbaticals from the company, he's always put somebody over. You know, last year he did it to Dolph. This year, you know, if you want to cement Del Rio as a real major player, because let's face it, you know, he's had a couple of runs as champion, and they've been sort of lackluster, so to speak. He hasn't really had any, both heel and babyface. You have Del Rio beat a guy like Jericho, who basically puts guys over, and it doesn't hurt him. You put Del Rio up there in status. You know, you can even have Del Rio keep that vicious side that he's been, you know, portraying towards Dolph Ziggler, and maybe further this concussion storyline with Jericho and Del Rio for when Jericho comes back. You can have Del Rio take him out and write him off of TV like that, put Del Rio over, and then you have a possible feud for when Jericho decides to come back next year during WrestleMania season. And then you could transition Del Rio over to Dolph Ziggler for the rest of the summer going into the fall.
Huh. That makes sense. I like it. Anything else strike you this week, Tony?
Let's see what happened. TNA was... I didn't think it was a bad show. I just thought like some of the stuff with the Hogans is getting a little hokey. It's kind of like, you know, like Bubba comes at him with the tire iron or whatever, and then he's just like, just so happens to see him, and he's like, hey, let's do this now, brother, or whatever. I don't know. Even you know, like that whole thing, you know, that and the McMahon family thing, you know, it's like the family. Soap opera drama stuff, I just think is like really, you know, because even like with the, you know, what's happening with Vince, Stephanie, and Triple H, they're all like, you know, telling Vicky, you know, it's like, oh, hey, listen, no, don't listen to this one, listen to me, this and that, and blah, blah, blah. And you know, it's like, you know, it's like, why have the GM, why even have the freaking GMs if you got, you know, the McMahons running the show on the, you know, being the on air, you know, whatever you want to call, you know, running the show or whatever. You know, it's like the whole thing with like Vicky and whatever. You know, it's getting kind of weird. You know, it's like getting kind of stale, actually.
I mean,
you know,
it's supposed like and so kind of crazy. You know, I agree with you. Like some of the stuff is dragging, but there's at least I'm curious where to go right now when it comes to TNA. I kind of need a resolution. It's been dragged on for a while. You know, when you had the Bully Ray saying, I still love you. I still love you. You know, you that. You know, Brooke Hogan is going to be Bully Ray's old lady, and she's going to be part of Ace and Eights with him. That's kind of what seems could happen. I need it to happen already. I need either they need to completely get divorced or she needs to join Ace and Eights, but the storyline continues to be dragged on and it's just kind of I need resolution. So I agree with you, Tony. I think to a certain extent both family dramas are kind of lackluster, but for different reasons. The McMahons, at least, I'm still curious where that resolution might be. So I think with that, as much as there have been some of those segments that have been somewhat, I'm still where it's going to go. As far as TNA, I just need there to be some sort of resolution because it's just it's dragging on. But it is interesting, you know, when you look at the two companies and how they mirror each other a bit, and they got some family drama going on both in both companies. So who knows where they're going to go. You guys out there, you want to check out a great blog. I know in the beginning of the show I announced that I got a new blog up there, but Tony is the best blogger in the biz, and blogs on Raw, Impact, and SmackDown each and every week. Head on over to thekenreedyshow.com. Check out Tony's blogs. Tony, thanks a lot for the call, and well, not this Tuesday, but a week from Tuesday. We'll talk to you then.
I'll be 31 by then. It's my birthday's Wednesday.
Oh, nice. Well, happy birthday. Have a great birthday.
Thanks a lot.
Ladies, thanks a lot for giving us a buzz.
Oh, no problem.
Take it easy. Yeah, he brought up, Impact, and it's. I mean, we try to be equal with stuff, but he said, there's not a, wasn't a lot for him to talk about, the Hogan drama. I feel like it kind of needs to end. The one thing that I guess we got at Impact this week was a new member, or I guess the first member for Sting to name to the main event Mafia, Kurt Angle, which, makes sense on one level that he's hated Ace and Eights for quite some time and is looking for retribution. So for him to join a group that he used to be a member of to get retribution makes sense. But on the flip side, when you had Sting's monologue, Sting kind of called out the locker room for not supporting him, for, putting the message out there that he has to fight on his own. Kurt Angle would have been part of that locker room that deserted him, and now he's bringing him into the fold. So on one end, fan, if I can let that go, and Kurt Angle together, I like Sting without the makeup and that whole version of the Sting character. I like that. I have to get past that, because to me, as far as the storytelling goes, the people he was most pissed off at was the locker room, and Kurt Angle would have been part of that. He's the first member of the main event Mafia. Your thoughts on the family drama and then the formation of the main event Mafia, Dave?
Well, as far as the family drama with the Hogans go, I completely agree with you 100%. There needs to be a resolution. They've kind of dragged this out a little too long. It's stating the obvious that, I've never been married, so I don't know how divorce proceedings go. I can imagine if you don't want to be married to somebody, you would do your best to make sure it takes place as quickly as possible. So that right there is an indication to me, at least, that, Brooke Hogan is going to be a part of that group and be the old lady of the motorcycle club. And the other thing too is that, they try to, they put a lot of her on that show, and I'm not a Brooke Hogan hater. She's a decent looking girl, but she's not an actor or an actress, I should say. She doesn't really, she can cry really well, but at the same time, they try to portray her as a woman, and she's got power, and she's over the, she's the figurehead for the knockout division. Yet, she gets scolded like she's 12 years old by Hulk, and makes her look stupid. And then they have her come out on TV in the state of the knockouts division, which I thought was a horrible segment to begin with. She talked about how proud she was of Velvet Sky. It would have been if I were Velvet Sky, I would have been what makes you so proud of me? You have no in-ring experience whatsoever. How could you even, talk about how proud you are of how far I've come, because you've never even been in the ring before, which I thought that was kind of interesting. The only thing that made that segment worthwhile was Eric Young. revealing to the whole world that he's not a woman, which was, it was pretty funny, which kind of basically helped that segment, because I thought that thing kind of dragged. There needs to be a resolution with that. It's getting old for me. It's going to be the obvious, so I'll be okay with that. And as far as the main event Mafia goes, it makes sense, because Kurt Angle was a part of the old group. At the same time, though, like you said, he called out the whole locker room about deserting him. So why would you even pick the locker room, anybody in that locker room, to be a part of your group to take on the Aces and Eights if they deserted you? I don't understand that. They got to come up with a good excuse, and not, and I don't want to hear an excuse that Kurt Angle was using the bathroom when that took place. He didn't see it happen, kind of thing. And then Sting's going to need to come up with a good excuse as to why Kurt Angle joined, too. So time will tell. I hear there's supposed to be more, a few more guys joining that group. Obviously, they'll be from the roster. I'll be surprised if they're not. Like, you know, we talked about Jeff Jarrett possibly, you know, being a part of that group, which would make sense because he'd be the only person who wasn't on the active roster that could slot into that position. With the whole Aces and H thing and their war against TNA, like, I'd like to see some of the younger guys, you know, lead the charge against them. You know, the guys like the Jeff Hardys and the AJ Styles and, you know, the Samoa Joes and the Bobby Roods and stuff like that. Not these guys that are like, you know, and there's no disrespect to, like, Sting, you know, like, he's a talented, you know, performer. You know, but he's also up there in age, too. And I just don't see, like, people complain that, like, oh, TNA's not at that level of WWE. Well, if you keep using the same guys over and over and over again who've been in this business for, you know, 30 years, you know, it's going to get tiring at some point. I think Sting, at this stage in his career, yes, he's popular with the TNA audience, but, you know, granted, he's not in the world title picture anymore, but he should be used to elevate younger talent. And the younger talent should be spotlighted more. And they got talent that are over. I just don't understand why they take guys like James Storm. They put him in a tag team now. James Storm is one of the most popular guys on that roster. You know, Jeff Hardy, what's he doing now? You know, he's in the Bound for Glory series. You know, Samoa Joe, what's he doing now? He had a time limit draw with AJ on Thursday night. But, like, some of these guys, like, they should be more involved in the indie top storyline. And Hogan and Sting leading the charge, defending, you know, TNA against the Aces and Eights, like, the Aces and Eights should crush them because they're both older guys. They don't, like, especially Hogan. It pains me to watch Hogan even walk to the ring, you know, and yet he's supposed to be, you know, big bad Hulk Hogan, you know, fighting off the Aces and Eights and his bad boy son-in-law. I mean, I don't know. I'm not really a big fan of it. It's like they're going backwards with this main event mafia thing. You know, Kurt Angle's still a phenomenal athlete. I don't mind him being a part of the group. At the same time, come up with a good excuse as to why a active member of the roster that you called out, you know, is a part of your group now. That's just my opinion.
It's one of those things that you would think that, you know, I mean, I had talked to, you know, as you continue to learn about the business and learn about storylines and writing and stuff and meeting people and talking about stuff. And I wish I could remember who said this to me, but it was an interesting point. And he said, you know, when you write a storyline, you have to write it backwards. And you write the resolution and then you backtrack on how you're going to get there. So at least you have a focus as to where you're going to go. You know, it seems like sometimes with TNA that they really, you know, they don't have that focus as to exactly where they want to go. And it's little things. Like, did the main event mafia thing come out of nowhere? I mean, one little scene, you know, you could have had Kurt Angle dead from a beatdown in the back, like, you know, during the main event at the pay-per-view. And that explains, like, why Kurt Angle was not able to come out and help. Bam, done. Explanation. Then we're not questioning Kurt Angle being able to join. Even if he wasn't unconscious, we saw like him just getting beat down by the Ace and Eights in the back. Then all right, we get it now. We know why he's not coming out and being you know, helping Sting out when he gets double, triple, quadruple teamed during his match. So there are little things they could have done which just would have made it make sense, and they didn't. So it's, you know, it's, are they just flying by the seat of their pants? Are they writing just episode by episode and hoping that somewhere along the line they make sure that there's at least some continuity? I don't know. And again, you know, maybe I'm being a little too nitpicky and maybe I'm just going to have to let that go and just enjoy the main event mafia reforming and enjoy the entertainment. But I don't know. The storytelling just leaves a little bit to be desired. 347-838-9815. You want to talk TNA Impact. You want to talk WWE. You want to talk some live wrestling you may have seen this weekend. Whatever you want to talk about. We're going to go back out to the phones. We got Mr. Trivia on the line. Mr. Trivia, how you doing tonight?
Hey, guys. How are you?
Doing all right.
How are
you
doing? Not too bad. A couple of points. Ken, I guess you mentioned something that you went to see FWE this past weekend, and I understand that Matt Stryker has been signed by FWE.
He was. It was good to see him. He looked good. He cut a promo to start the show where he kind of thanked the WWE, but then kind of cut a bit of a scathing promo, kind of shooted a little bit on them, kind of said, hey, I'm going to go on the commentating table, and guess what? I'm gonna call the match. I'm going to name the moves. I'm not going to tell stories. And if it's all right with you, damn it, I'm going to say the word wrestling. So look, I mean, you never know. It could have been purely for promo's sake, for the crowd. For me being there, it seemed like he was genuinely pissed, not happy, would be. But he was. It just didn't seem like he was pleased with the WWE. And you know what? For all intents and purposes, I loved him as a commentator. I really thought Matt Stryker was a great commentator, better than anybody they have doing commentating now. And I think they missed the boat. I think they had someone who has a real gift for calling a wrestling match. And for whatever reason, it seems philosophically in the WWE, they want a certain type of commentator. I always thought Stryker was great. It's a shame that he didn't get more of a chance to be a commentator there. But, you know, if he's doing FWE, I think he's available for booking. So hopefully we'll see him doing commentating on a regular basis in other promotions.
Yeah, nice. Kind of like Joey Styles' rant on the WWE a few years back.
Yeah.
Another thing, too, is Monday night, the Brock Lesnar CM Punk thing is going on. I think that's going to turn out to be a great match, great feud. With this Paul Heyman deal, I think, you're going to see something happen again tomorrow night as far as those two go. And, Dave, let me get your opinion on something. I know, like I said, you're a big Dolph Ziggler fan, and you kind of got me on the Dolph Ziggler bandwagon and everything. And do you see if Dolph Ziggler doesn't get the title back from Del Rio, do you see him possibly challenging John Cena? And the reason I'm saying that is because, in my opinion, I could be wrong, correct me if I am, but in my opinion, I think Cena's running out of challengers. I mean, how many times can you put him against Ryback? How many times can you put him against this one? How many times can you put him against that one? And I'd like to get your take on that, if I could.
Well, if Dolph Ziggler doesn't win the world title, I think he'll still be in the picture with Del Rio for the time being. For the foreseeable future, the next few months or so. I mean, it's possible he could face John Cena. Anything's possible at this point. Mark Henry fooled us all on Monday night, and with the fake retirement speech. But I mean, Cena's got Mark Henry right now, heading into Money in the Bank. It's possible they could do something with those two at SummerSlam. So that's possibly you got some legs with Cena and Mark Henry. The rumor is that they want Daniel Bryan and John Cena at SummerSlam, or Daniel Bryan versus the winner of that title match at SummerSlam, because Daniel Bryan's been, on fire right now. So Cena's got some new challengers, with it for the next few months at least, going into the rest of the summer, with July and August, and maybe even moving forward into the fall. So, I do understand what you're saying is that there are some times where Cena is running out of guys, but I think that they're making a conscious effort now to make sure that something like that doesn't happen. With the Mark Henry thing, Daniel Bryan, but it wouldn't surprise me if Dolph Ziggler were to challenge Cena. I'm not saying it would happen soon, but at the same time, you'd also have to have Dolph as a heel, because there's no way they're turning John Cena heel, obviously, and they got plans for Dolph going forward, and it's with this stuff with Del Rio. So I don't see it happening right now, but anything's possible. They could throw a monkey wrench into the situation and swerve us all. But right now, not going to happen.
Right. And with the third match coming up tomorrow night on Raw, who do you think is ripe for the heel turn, Ryan or Randy Orton?
I think Randy Orton is. But it wouldn't surprise me if they did turn Brian. I heard a rumor, too, recently that there's talk of bringing in Shawn Michaels into the Daniel Bryan storyline because Daniel Bryan was trained by Shawn Michaels. Shawn Michaels broke him into the business. When Shawn was retired for those 4 years, he ran a wrestling school in Texas, and Bryan was one of his students. There's talk of having Shawn Michaels get involved somehow with Daniel Bryan and almost not necessarily being a mentor or like a coach, but almost kind of like trying to get him out of this funk of being the weak link, so to speak. And he's so on fire right now. The people love him. He's hot. You know, it would be cool if he did turn because, you know, then you would get some monster heat on him, but they got a lot of heels on the show right now. And I don't think, you know, turning Daniel Bryan heel would be smart considering how popular he is amongst the entire WWE audience. Whereas Randy Orton, his popularity kind of comes and goes depending on where they have their shows. And I think it's time Orton needs a change too as well. And I think we'll see that. It's possible we can see it Monday. I don't know if we'll see a full turn. There have been plenty of chances they could have done it. Maybe it'll surprise us and we'll see it Monday. I don't know.
Maybe, yep. Well, one other quick note, guys. Ken, I'd like to get your input on this too as well. Where do you think they're going to end up going with RVD? Do you think that they're going to possibly have him win Money in the Bank? Who does it look like he's going to feud with? You know, your thoughts on that?
That's an excellent question, and we were talking before the show. I mean, we were saying, you know, with Christian coming back and RVD, you know, I mean, the WWE's in a good place right now. They're running well. Storylines are working. Matches are good. Good young talent, mixed in with the veteran talent. I mean, things are working, and now they have guys like RVD and Christian back or coming back that, where exactly do you fit these guys in? I don't know. It's what I would like to see. I would love to see him turn heel and be a Paul Heyman guy. I have this. I would love for them to set up a dynamic where they have a paranoid CM Punk where he doesn't know who to trust. I would love to see a situation where RVD comes back and maybe comes down and shakes hands with CM Punk and then proceeds to jump in the air and give him a spinning kick to the head and something like that. And maybe we have I would guess that we're going to see at SummerSlam, we'll see Brock versus Punk. That's my guess. So you might need to do some other things between the Heyman family and CM Punk leading up to SummerSlam. So maybe we do something, a short-term thing. Punk and RV.
Good. Hey, guys. Yep, great. I got to go. You know, guys, it's great talking to you. Ken, enjoy your vacation. And we'll talk to you again when you come back.
Thanks for giving us a
call.
All
right, guys. Take care.
It sounded like Mr. Trudy got in trouble or something. That was really abrupt. Hope he's not getting fired or anything. But back to that. It's weird with Dave, with everything going well. You know, when things are going poorly, you look for them to bring back someone, someone to spruce things up, to add some life. Things are running really well in the WWE, so it's where do you slot in these guys, these veterans that are coming back. As I said earlier at FWE, that RVD looked great. So I think we will have a re-energized, refocused, exciting RVD. So I do look forward to him being in the fold and the matches he can pull off. For me, I've never been sold on him as a talker. Him turning heel and being with Heyman and Heyman doing most of the mouth work there, to me, would work well for RVD. So that's what I'd like to see. My thought is that they probably won't turn him heel, but I do wonder where exactly they're going to slot him in. I don't think they'll have him win Money in the Bank, but who knows? Your thought on RVD's return, Dave?
It's pretty cool, you know. I'm not a huge RVD fan, but, you know, I like his work. And, you know, you said he's not the, you know, weren't so keen on him being a talker. He was never really a talker to begin with. His gimmick was that he was, you know, the whole effing show. Like, he was, you know, he delivered in the ring. You know, his in-ring work was what really got him over. You know, and it wasn't the airbrush tights, by the way. But they could do a lot of things with him. I like the idea. It'd be pretty cool if he were to turn heel and join Paul Heyman. But he's so popular right now that I don't think that, you know, he's going to get a big pop when he returns. So aligning him with Paul Heyman is not really the smartest move. As you can tell, Punk came back in his hometown, got a pretty big pop. Granted, Heyman was by his side, but now there's a shift between the two of them. You know, Punk's going to go one way, Heyman's going to go the other eventually, and we'll get into that later. But I don't know if RVD will be in a Money in the Bank ladder match. And the only reason why I say that, I think I mentioned it on Tuesday, was having him in that match, especially being in Philadelphia. RVD's really super over in the Philadelphia market, you know, from the old ECW days, is that it will take away, I think, having RVD in that match with seven other guys. I mean, he'll be the overwhelming favorite. He'll add a lot of excitement and athleticism to the match because that match is right up his alley. It wouldn't surprise me if they put him in, but I don't think it's going to happen. I think they got other plans for him. I think those other plans could possibly be a run with Curtis Axel, considering that he's a Paul Heyman guy, and RVD has ties to Paul Heyman. However, they're saying that RVD's returning at Money in the Bank, so you got to set something up pretty quickly, within the next 3 weeks for Money in the Bank. So maybe he will be involved in the Money in the Bank ladder match. I mean, I don't know. But Axel's around for a while. From what I hear, RVD's deal is short-term. He's only working select live events, pay-per-views, and TVs. So he's not going to be around for a whole lot. I don't know what short-term means in the contract, but I just figure maybe it's probably about like 6 months or something like that. But there's a lot of different ways they can go with him. But overall, he'll add some fresh matchups to the product. You can put him in there with a load of guys. We've talked about it, you know, with CM Punk. He worked Curtis Axel. He could work with Wade Barrett. He could work with The Shield. You know, do something with him and Daniel Bryan maybe. You know, even some other matches, older matches, you know, like with maybe Randy Orton or John Cena. You know, who knows? There's countless possibilities, and that's what's cool about it. We're bringing a guy like him in. You know, you got a fresh matchup wherever you go because RVD has been out of the WWE for so long. So it'll be interesting to see what direction they put him in. But it's gonna be something that a lot better. From what I understand, they have a storyline in place for him. They've already got something set up. So I'm assuming it's, you know, a one-on-one feud with somebody. Maybe they give him his own match at Money in the Bank. Maybe we'll see tomorrow night. You know, maybe somebody will challenge him. And that will be the match at Money in the Bank. Who knows? But endless possibilities with RVD in the WWE, in my opinion.
I mean, if they keep him, and you're right. I mean, I don't anticipate. I'd love to see him turn heel, just see something different. But I anticipate him coming in his face. But it would be interesting, you know, when you saw The Shield on SmackDown beat down Christian, you know, and with the whole Heyman thing, you know, Axel and RVD. You know, I wouldn't mind necessarily seeing Christian pursuing the U.S. title from Dean Ambrose and RVD coming in pursuing the IC title from Curtis Axel. I think that that would be something, bringing these two veterans, guys, these two guys that have been to the top of the mountain, these two guys that are real popular. Those are two guys that can really help. And we talked a lot on the show about bringing back prestige to the other belts. And we've seen it slowly move in that direction, but slowly. These are two guys that come back. If they're pursuing those two belts, it kind of ups the ante as far as the prestige level of those two belts. So, you know, if that's the case, I wouldn't necessarily mind seeing those two guys coming back, not as main eventers, but as mid-carders, beefing up that mid-card, going after those secondary belts to beef up the prestige. 347-838-9815 is the number to call. This is the Ken Reeves Show. We are talking wrestling. It's the best in pro wrestling talk. We got a bunch of you on hold waiting patiently, and I thank you guys so much for tuning in. About ready for break, so I promise you as soon as we get through the break, I'm going to go right back out to the phones and get you guys on talking about whatever you want in the world of pro wrestling. But without further ado, we're going to head out to Mr. Dave, who's going to give us the Day 5 50-50 News Report.
Thank you very much, Ken. This is the Day 5 News Report, only heard at the top of the hour every Sunday night here on The Ken Reedy Show. To start off our news week, I have a follow-up story from, I'd say, about a month ago. TNA star Zema Ion had set up a fundraiser account online to assist in medical bills after undergoing emergency surgery for appendicitis. I can never say that word properly. God damn it. The fundraiser ended on Thursday with Ion only raising a fourth of the $30,000 he was looking for by raising $6,648. Ion will require further surgery to remove a tumor on his colon. And our second story this week, Linda and Vince McMahon. Now, by the way, this isn't a story about Linda McMahon running for Senate for any of you, you know, wrestling fans out there that are, you know, awaiting a new PG era again. Through the Vince and Linda McMahon Family Foundation recently awarded Stamford, Connecticut's Palace Theater a $25,000 grant, a grant to benefit its arts and educational programs. And you people say those McMahons are bad people. Shame on you. ContactMusic.com reports that former WWE champion The Rock, Dwayne Johnson, recently sold his mansion in Miami for $3 million, but had to accept $500,000 less than the asking price. The Rock also sold his Beverly Hills estate in California for $4.9 million, which came with a private barber shop and a spa. That's very posh. The Wrestling Observer and other wrestling media outlets this week reported that Colt Cabana received two tryouts as a commentator for the WWE, one last year and one as recent as February. Some reports state that CM Punk got him the tryouts, when in fact the WWE reached out to Cabana on their own after seeing his work on the CM Punk DVD that came out late last year. And our fifth and final story this evening, WWE head writer David Kreitzman, who is slated to finish up with the company this week, will be sticking around till the fall to help the company find a replacement and close out the directions of storylines. WWE has already posted listings for the replacement earlier this month. The listing is looking for both Raw and SmackDown lead writers. Guys, Stanford, if you're listening, you don't need to do that. I'm here. You just call in 347-838-9815. We can do a verbal job interview live here on the air. Trust me, it'll work. Wrestling on Fire, Friday nights, MeTV at 11 p.m. Our own Ken Reedy, along with Ray Ray Mars, call the action. Check them out. And Fantasy Sports has basically been a new wave to watch professional sports, whether it be football, baseball, basketball. Well, now wrestling is going in that same direction. Check out realfantasywrestling.com. Some of our listeners here at the Ken Reedy Show, as well as Ken and myself and the rest of the TKRS gang, we're all involved in the Real Fantasy Wrestling fun. It's a new way to watch Monday Night Raw and the rest of WWE television. Check them out, realfantasywrestling.com. And The Gun Show, Season 9, YouTube/The Gun Show Web TV. It's a pretty crazy show. I know I talk about it a lot. They got this guy with, you know, a luchador mask named El Rotundo. Steve Off, who's been on this show before, he's on there, as well as the crazy Bob Arian. Check him out. The Gun Show, WebTV/YouTube. And there you have it, my friends. That was the Day 5 News Report, only heard at the top of the hour every Sunday night here on the Ken Reedy Show. Ken, back to you.
Good stuff, Dave. Thanks for the news report. And let's go right back out to the phones. We got some people who've been holding very patiently. And right now we got Dank on the line.
Dank, are you there?
Gentlemen, how are you doing?
Doing all right. How are you this fine Sunday evening?
I am doing good, well rested, and I've been looking forward to talking to you guys since, well, Monday night. And unfortunately, when you guys have your Tuesday show, I have class, so I have to go all week waiting and waiting and waiting, and here we are. So, first I'm going to go on a limb, and I'm going to think, and I'm going to say that I believe Dolph Ziggler is going to win the championship back. And I'd like to see Biggie Langston win Money in the Bank and turn on Dolph when he tries to cash it in to win the belt. What do you guys think of that?
I wouldn't bet on it, to be honest with you. I wouldn't bet on it, but I wouldn't, if it were to happen, I wouldn't complain. That would work, and that would be a simple kind of create that risk. And then, you could have some suspense involved in, which side is AJ going to fall on? Is she going to stick with her man Zig, or is she going to go to the dark side, no pun intended, with Big E Langston?
Wow.
So, I think it could work. I don't see that happening. What do you think, Dave?
I agree. It could work. I don't see it happening. The only way I do see it happening is if they were having big plans for, no pun intended, Big E Langston to turn babyface, which there were, and if Dolph Ziggler were going to stay a heel. I just don't think that works right. I don't think if he were to cash in on Dolph and win it, it just wouldn't. It wouldn't work better if roles were reversed, so to speak. So that's my story, and I'm sticking to it.
Okay. Main point for the phone call is, other than I'm really looking forward to RVD coming back, being a fan from back in the day, Mark Henry. I believe, and the show itself on Monday, I would put it as one of the best Raw shows so far this year, I would say. And I would put it top 10 overall. Everything seemed to click. It did not feel like 3 hours. And it felt like when they were done with surprises, here comes another one. You know, with the whole Mark Henry, which will probably be talked about for a while in the corridors of WWE on how he fooled everyone. And people were thinking, okay, that's going to be like the big thing for tonight. The big Mark Henry's going after Cena now. And how do they end the show? They end the show with bringing out Brock Lesnar. Like, I loved the show. I would definitely put it number one show of the year. But Mark Henry, the Mark Henry skit, I don't know if you want to put it as like iconic moments, but where, if you were to place it on a top 10 of OMG moments or did not see that moment coming, where would it be?
It's funny. It's so difficult, especially when you're in the moment, to put things in historical context. But when we talked on Tuesday about it, it was one of those moments that, we talk about wrestling promos and people debate promos, and you have your Ric Flairs and your Dusty Rhodes and The Rock and all these guys that, who cuts a great promo and what's a great promo, what's the all-time best promo. It's interesting because you can't even call it a promo. Mark Henry was acting, and that was a monologue or a soliloquy. I mean, that was classic drama. And I do think as you remove yourself and you start to get objective about what Mark Henry did that night, to me, I don't think it's an exaggeration saying it's one of the greatest promos in history. I mean, when he busted out the tears, he brought the crowd and the viewers on an emotional journey. swerved us all in the end. It was a phenomenal job, and it was part of, you know, and not enough can be said to have the best moment on one of the best Raws in recent memory. You know, it might be, if not the best, it's pretty close being damn near the best Raw since they've gone to 3 hours. And Mark Henry was the best moment on the best Raw. So, yeah, I mean, I don't think it's, you know, again, tough, and you have to look back on some historical promos, but I would say, you know, it's right there with you know, other all-time great promos, Dave.
I will say this. I mean, it was great. It got everybody. And I'll stand by it that it got a lot of people. Some of you may think that you didn't, you know, get got by Mark Henry, but you did. It was probably the best Raw since they've gone 3 hours. Top to bottom, there was unpredictability. It went by smooth. There was excitement, you know, twists and turns. Best Raw. And from what I read, from what I understand, it was a complete rewrite as opposed to what they originally had planned. Early Monday, Vince McMahon had consulted both Paul Heyman and Zeb Coulter to help him rewrite the entire show with no involvement from anyone else from the writing team. So that's an interesting tidbit there that, you know, could get some people talking, of course, in some circles about, you know, the future of the writing for the WWE and maybe these two guys possibly being, you know, a part of that. The Henry thing was probably, to me, you know, each year there's always like something big in the WWE taking place. And last year we didn't really get anything too like major, but this to me was like along the lines of like the CM Punk pipe bomb promo. Like we always say that like, there's always a launching point to get you to SummerSlam with storylines, and this one was it right here as far as, you know, like top storylines go. And Mark Henry, the Mark Henry angle that they did, the promo or, the, like you said, the monologue, I don't know where to rank it because there's so many good ones. So I really can't say where I'd rank it. It was damn good. You know, the crying, I mean, he got everybody, myself included. But it was damn good to watch. And I really don't know where to put it, you know, amongst all-time greats. I put it in a top 25 segment of all-time great moments of Raw, I'll tell you that, because it was definitely really good.
Yeah, I mean, like, I think I can count on the tip of my fingers how many times I've sat there knowing how scripted Raw is and actually get caught in the moment of the promo or whoever is saying what, like when Edge retired. Like, I was on the edge of my seat, no pun intended, but I was like, please tell me this is not real. Please tell me that Edge is not retiring. This has got to be a joke. The other one that really got me, because not only did it have, like, an effect on all the American people, but it almost felt like when the wrestlers perform, they're on a stage. You know, obviously, they're in the ring. But last year or 2 years ago, whenever it was, when the news broke that Osama bin Laden had been shot and killed, and it was John Cena that, after he was done with his match, stood on the announcer table and just said, "We got him." And he went on and just, you know, said what happened. Like he broke that fourth wall that it's almost like you should never break it. And he was no longer an entertainer. He was no longer a professional wrestler. He was one of us. He was one, somebody that was just telling us the big news, but he was still, for a moment, we all felt like one. He was not on a pedestal. He was not put on any other different level, but he was just like, I'm one of you right now. It doesn't matter what I do for a living. The one thing that we've all strived to get has finally happened. And to me, it was one other moment where I'm just like, it's almost surreal. And Mark Henry, to some degree, was like that. Mark Henry was like, when he started crying, you see like this big, huge guy that seems like he's got less emotions than Brock Lesnar all of a sudden have tears come down. You're like, you can't help it. You're like, what the hell? No.
He's an artist.
He's good at what he did. And, you know, I hope that they keep going the way that they go and that, you know, they, like Ken said, they're running, you know, and firing all cylinders. Let's hope they keep on going and see how they lead up to SummerSlam. But anyway, you guys have a good holiday. Have a good 4th of July. Be safe. I'll talk to you guys in a couple weeks.
Take it easy. Thanks for giving us a call, Dank.
No problem.
And it's interesting, talking about Monday Night Raw, and when we talk about guys like Heyman and Coulter getting involved with the writing, I mean, you know, you'd like to think and hope that Monday Night Raw was not an exception, but comes close to the rule. I mean, look, you can't fire on all cylinders 100% of the times. I mean, I know that. But if they can kind of get damn near close to what they did this past Monday night, and Paul Heyman and Zeb Coulter are the culprits, then keep those guys involved with creative, and let's keep this thing going, because that was a real fun night to be a wrestling fan. And, you know, I can't say enough positive things, and I want Heyman and Coulter on board full-time in the creative team, Dave.
Yeah. I mean, there was, you know, It's interesting. I mean, Heyman's got a history with being a part of WWE Creative. He was, you know, a lead writer for SmackDown, you know, for 2002-2003, you know, right in the early stages of the brand extension. And, you know, there were a lot of positive things he did, at least for that show. You know, he came up with the idea for the team angle with Charlie Haas and Shelton Benjamin, the rise of Brock Lesnar, you know, Kurt Angle, even the early stages of John Cena. You know, I mean, he did a lot of good stuff. And he takes guys, his biggest gift in wrestling has been publicized, it's been talked about. He takes guys that you wouldn't necessarily think it are superstars. He accentuates their positives. He camouflages their negatives, and you see them in a more positive light, and it makes them look better on television, and it makes them believable to possibly be a star. You know, that's what he does. He's in my opinion, he's the underdog wrestler's creative writer. You know, Coulter, Dutch Mantel, he's been, you know, he's got a history in, you know, being a part of the creative process with other promotions. He wrote some of the early, you know, years of TNA wrestling, and, you know, got, you know, some guys like AJ Styles some exposure, and, you know, guys like Samoa Joe and stuff like that. And, you know, he's done really well for himself over his career. So I'm all for if the two of them were to, you know, have a full-time position on that, on, you know, in creative. However, it's a very, you know, I don't think at that stage in both their careers that they want to be a part of that process, the full-time process, because it is a very demanding, you know, job. As I, you know, mentioned in the news report, somebody's leaving in the fall because it's, you know, a very high demand to be one of the creative writers of the WWE. But I'm all for it if they do it. You're not going to get any complaints from me.
Definitely good stuff. 347-838-9815. We're talking pro wrestling, the best in pro wrestling talk. We're going to head right back out to the phone. Then we got Mike on the line. Mike, are you there?
Hey, guys. What's going on?
How you doing, buddy?
I'm good, good. You were out and about this weekend, huh, Ken? I read everything that you had to write this weekend about the matches. I actually saw some pictures and stuff of X-Pac. Was it X-Pac beating up, was he beating up Terry Funk? Was that correct?
Yes, he did. He came down and Terry Funk got himself involved, and then Lance Storm and him had a confrontation, and then X-Pac showed up, and X-Pac and Lance Storm beat on Terry Funk for a little while until Dreamer was able to get up and help the Funker. But Funker's turning 69 next week, and he's still... still getting himself physically involved in the ring. It was good to see him out there. It was a great show, man. And Lance Storm, that guy is just in phenomenal shape. So it was great to see him out there again. But yeah, that was X-Pac.
I always liked Lance Storm, and I always respected the hell out of Lance Storm. last year when he wrestled for ROH. I thought he had a great match with Mike Bennett. You know, to another phenomenal wrestler. But Lance Storm, what can you say about a guy that is what it is, right? I guess last night we were at ECPW, the Fat Boys, representing. Now, everybody talks about when you watch wrestling and you know, who would you like to see or what would happen, or let's just say this is your WrestleMania moment. Last night, the Fat Boys were taking on Andrew Anderson and a wrestler by the name of Mr. Thursday Night. The match ended when Mr. Anderson's partner, Mr. Thursday Night, decides to pin Magic's feet on the ropes. Now, I'm yelling at the referee. All of a sudden, out of nowhere, the bell rings. Who comes out to tell the referee, hey, he's got his foot on the ropes? Gene Snitsky. Gene Snitsky tells Andrew Anderson, it's not my fault that you cheated. Well, when he said it's not my fault that you cheated, the fans popped because, you know, as Gene Snitsky's motto was, wasn't my fault. So my WrestleMania moment came last night when Gene Snitsky came out and basically helped us out. And then I got to meet again the ECW Zombie was in the house last night. So just tremendous night for the Fat Boys. And when they restarted the match, the Fat Boys won. So another win for us.
Very cool. Like a great moment.
Yeah, I thought it was. I mean, anytime you have a guy like Snitsky, who I didn't even realize, I mean, I knew he was going to be there, but I didn't know what he was going to be doing. Then when the bell rang and he came out to tell the referee, everybody looked at him like, are you serious? This is Snitsky. This is the guy that punted a baby. And he comes out with a baby. And that's another thing. He comes out with a baby.
You really?
He brings a baby out to the ring. And he's tall. He's really tall. Guy's a great guy, great wrestler. That's why we love this business, because you never know what's going to happen.
Exactly.
Great business.
Are you guys gonna read Lex Luger's book?
I mean, I don't know. I didn't know he had a book coming out.
Lex Luger has a book coming out in August.
He's done a lot in the wrestling business. I'm sure he's got some interesting stuff to discuss. I mean, I'm not going to go out and buy it just, you know, for the sake of buying it because it's a wrestler's book. If I hear something good about it, I'll probably pick it up.
Yeah, I'd be curious. I mean, it's like you said. I mean, he's a guy who probably has a lot of stories. It is something that I think I'd probably read some reviews first because I'd want it to be kind of in depth and really really get behind the scenes as far as his career. If he glosses over some stuff, then I don't know if I'll pick it up. But a guy that's done a lot in the business. I love reading. I mean, that's right now those are my favorite books to read is wrestling autobiographies because they're just. They're so interesting, and the role.
And you never know the backstories on some of these wrestlers, like who's friends with who, or how come this guy didn't like that guy, or what happened, or how come Hacksaw Jim Duggan doesn't like Doink the Clown. I mean, stuff like that. I mean, I'm curious to read about Lex Luger. Lex Luger to me, well, like I said, we talked about Luger before. I always thought Lex Luger was very. I don't know. I thought he was over, big time, overrated to me. I mean, he had the power slams. He had the flying forearm or whatever. He put you up in the rack. You know, Hulk Hogan used to call him Flexi Lexi. I mean, stuff like that. I mean, he used to flex. I mean, it was pretty funny. But the guy, you know, take nothing away. He was a wrestler's wrestler. He went out there and he did his thing. And also, he was a football player before that. But That's the way the wrestlers are. George Animal Steel has a book out too, and I gotta get that. So I'm gonna get those wrestling books and keep myself busy.
Do us a favor,
by the way,
hold on, Mike. Do us a favor. Why don't you read the books, and then you can give us a little review on the show, and then maybe that we'll decide if, you know, Ken and I will decide if we go out and pick up the book. How about that? We'll give you a little Ken Reedy Show homework assignment. What do you think about that?
I think it's good. I think that's good, Dave. Oh, no, I was just going to break in with a funny story. I found out what happened with Mark Henry's jacket and where the jacket came from.
Oh, I'd love to hear this. Go ahead.
Bob Arian,
he told Mark Henry and he gave Mark Henry the jacket. He told Mark Henry, this is the jacket that made Bob Arian, so I'm going to give it to you to retire in.
Wow. First of all, I didn't know Bob Arian was that big to fit in that jacket. How's that even possible?
You know, Bob Arian used to weigh about 400 pounds when I met him.
Really?
Oh, yeah.
The true story, or you just like cracking on him?
Oh, no, true story. Bob Arian used to weigh 400 pounds. No, true story. And then Bob Arian, just one day, it all just went away.
I get it, yeah. All right,
It just went away. It just poof, it went away. It's like, you know, it's like his CIA fantasies, you know, Bob Arian, CIA, Mr. CIA, yeah, okay. But other than that, guys, it was a great. Hey Ken, how was Hardcore? How was the Hardcore show last night?
How's the Hardcore? It's tremendous. I mean, Tommy Dreamer gets it. He knows how to put on a show. You know, good mix. There's some comedy. I mean, you know, look, when you think you've seen it all, then you go out to House of Hardcore and you see the Sandman do the Fandango. So, you know. I have it all. So, you know, that happened. That happened in the beginning of the show. Did a Harlem Shake moment with Guido, the Blue Meanie, and Sandman, where they broke into a dance during, right after the match, doing the Harlem Shake. So there was that.
That's funny. I love little Guido. I think he's another tremendous product. Hey, you guys gave me the homework on the books. Okay, now I got another homework. Are you guys gonna watch Wife Swap with Ric Flair and Rowdy Piper?
When is that airing? Because I heard about it and I've been waiting to hear an air date. But do you know when it airs?
I think I heard June 30th.
Next Sunday.
Next Sunday? So that's definitely set the DVRs for that wife swap. Yeah.
We've seen them wrestle. We've heard stories of them in each other's books. We've seen DVDs of them. Now we're going to see them wife swap. That should be interesting.
Very.
Poor kitty. I hope she doesn't get chopped by Ric Flair. That would be interesting. Oh, by the way, I want to give a shout out to Michelle DG, baby. You know, for listening. You know, another great diva in the business. I love it. I love the picture of her and Paul London. I love it. Well, I'm gonna let you guys do your business, and I'll see you guys. I'll speak to you guys on Tuesday.
Well, for the call, Mike. Take it easy.
All right. Thank you.
That would be cool. Get him reading the book. We have a review before I go out and buy it. It's really fairly selfish. Like, I just want to know if it's any good before I pick it up.
I'm not paying $18 for the book to suck, all right? And I'll let somebody else do it for me.
Interesting, yeah. HOH was great. I mean, if you're a wrestling fan, like, I can't recommend enough to go out there, pick up some tickets when HOH 3 is released. Just good stuff. And, you know, it was cool. When Michelle first started watching wrestling, London and Kendrick were her favorite tag team. So it was kind of a cool moment for our producer, Michelle, to get to meet London. But those guys, man, I mean, when you talk pro wrestling, you talk tag team wrestling, they could put London and Kendrick versus the Young Bucks on every week, and it would still be must-see TV. Those two teams, it's tremendous what those two teams can do in the ring and when the four of them. And it was cool. We talked to London afterwards, and you know, complimented him on the match, and he said there were five guys in there working their ass off. I was just part of it, and I'm thinking 1, 2, 3, and then he's. the referee, and he gave the referee props as far as helping him call the match and everything. So I thought that was cool that he kind of acknowledged the ref. He said, when it comes to one of our matches, the ref has a lot to do with how the match goes, and he did a tremendous job. So it was kind of cool him giving props to the ref, but just a tremendous matchup, a great show. So check out House of Hardcore 3 when it comes around. 347-838-9815 is the number to call. We're going to head back out to the phones. Holding for a while, we got Justin on the line. How you doing today, Justin?
Hi, Cam. Missed you.
Missed you. Thank you for supporting and calling in and being a part of the show. And did you watch the Monday Night Raw?
Yes, I did, sir.
Did you like the Monday Night Raw?
Oh, yeah. Love it.
Let me ask you something. At the end of Monday Night Raw, you saw CM Punk and Brock Lesnar stare each other down in the ring, and then Brock Lesnar proceeds to give one CM Punk an F5, planting him in the center of the ring. I got to get your take on this, Justin. What did you think of that moment at the end of Monday Night Raw?
I need that hurt. You're funny.
That, you know what, we sit here, we analyze, we overanalyze, we pick apart storylines and moments and everything, and Justin, you kind of cut through all the BS. You're like, it hurt. And I would agree with you there. I bet when CM Punk hit the middle of the ring after the F5, that probably hurt a lot. What do you think about going forward with CM Punk perhaps battling Brock Lesnar?
I hope he wins.
You want Punk to win?
Oh, yeah.
Do you think it would be better if they do that short term and have CM Punk wrestle Brock Lesnar at Money in the Bank, or do you think they should build it and have kind of a slow burn with the storyline and wait till SummerSlam?
Wait till SummerSlam.
SummerSlam, why?
It's a good pay-per-view.
You think it'll be a good pay-per-view?
You betcha.
Monday night strike you, Justin, or smack
you? Oh, yeah.
What'd you like this week?
What about Edge and Christian, for instance?
Well, Christian came back this week. Were you excited to see Christian?
Yeah. What about Edge and Christian, my favorite pals?
They are. They're very close pals. I'm curious. You had the Shield jump Christian. What do you think of that? And you think that Christian perhaps should go after Dean Ambrose and pursue the U.S. title? What do you think of that?
Well, that'd be great.
You're really giving us the one word answers tonight, aren't you?
Oh yeah, Ken.
Justin, I love when you call. You make the world a happier place when you call in. Thanks a lot for being a part of the show. Anything you'd like to say to Dave or myself before we let you go?
Sure. Tell Dave he's like a king.
A king? What kind? You know, that's interesting. What kind of king is Dave like?
He's like a king of the world.
King of the world?
Oh, what? Yeah.
Wow, I'm flattered. Thank you, Justin.
You're flattered. Justin is up.
So who's my queen, Justin?
I think Ken should be the prince.
I should be the
prince? Oh, thank God. I thought you were going to say he was going to be the queen.
I think it'll be AJ.
Hey, Lee?
Good answer. Good answer, yes. I can accept her as my queen.
I hope so.
That's kind of cool. Developing wrestling royalty here.
You bet, Ken.
Sounds good. All right, Justin. Thanks a lot for the phone call. We'll talk to you. We're taking some time off. We'll talk to you a week from Tuesday. How's that sound?
Sure. I'm going to miss you, Ken. Have a good vacation, man.
Thank you very much. And you have a good week and a half or so. We'll talk to you soon. Take it easy, man.
Sure, Ken.
Justin. Love when he calls. Makes the world a happier face. Let's stick with the phones and call. Are you there?
Yo, who's this? Who is this?
TV show, the best in pro wrestling talk. Who's this?
Oh, it's the Prince. What are you wearing, purple? Why don't you get up and do some dances for us, being you're the Prince? I'm sitting out here in Nevada, and you know what? I'm tired of hearing all of this, Ken Reedy this, Ken Reedy that. Where's Dave? I want to talk to the King.
I'm right here, my brother. How you doing?
You know who this is.
Oh, I do. Trust me, I do.
Let me announce it, because Ken won't do it the right way. I am Bob Arian. And I got an issue. I got Mike the Sign Guy calling in, giving away government secrets. First of all, you can't allow that. Was I 400 pounds once? No, he's wrong. I was 370. But a government project brought me down to 210 in a week. Okay, Ken, maybe you should stop spending time at Premier Fitness or whatever the name of that is and stop trying to be like Bob Arian, because I know you're telling people you're Bob Arian. You need to stop it.
Yeah, I do.
Did you hang up on me already?
No, he's still there, Bob.
I'm here.
Yeah, I know. He's kind of flattered with my phone call tonight because I've been sitting out here. You know I'm activated, and I'm saving the world one inch at a time. And I just had to call in tonight and just say hello. And when I heard you were the King now, Dave, I just had to call in and give you some props on that.
Well, thank you very much, Bob. It's always nice to hear from you. It's been a long time since we spoke, and I'm glad that you called in. I'm glad you're doing well, too. And you cleared that rumor up about the weight loss issue.
Yeah. But, I just wanted to touch base with you guys. I know, me and Ken still have our differences, but the show is doing great. And, a lot of people out here in Nevada where I am, they sit, they listen, they laugh. And, you are entertaining people, and I want you to keep on doing it. And, I'm in Jersey maybe one day a month. I was at the last BWO show. I just want to give a shout-out to Preacher from BWO. Even though his ownership and what he's doing with BWO, I have no clue. It seems when you take over that company, you lose your mind. Look at what Glenn Ulrich did. But Preacher did make his ROH debut this weekend in Baltimore, and actually Steve's down there also. And, no debut yet, but I just wanted to give a shout-out to Preacher. And even though we have our differences now, that I want to wish him luck, and hopefully he can catch on with ROH.
Very cool. Yeah, that's great that he's down there with ROH. And, it's great. How are things going? Like, are we all safe? I mean, I know you're out there keeping the world safe. I mean, is it time to move to the underground bunkers, or are we is the world in a good state?
I think right now we're fine. We got July 4th coming up, and we got to do what we can to keep everybody safe there. But I'm going to tell you the warning, Ken, is when you see me running, then you better run.
That sounds good.
So I know you guys got a busy schedule here. I just wanted to call in, say hello, give my shout out, and thank Mike for blowing a government classified secret. And I listened to the show. I had to call in and say hello to the King Dave and the Prince, who I know he's probably dancing and wearing his purple shirt, whatever, and send a shout-out to Missy G for me because, you guys do a good job.
Thanks a lot. I appreciate the call. All the best, man.
Thank you, Bob. Take care. Bye-bye. Bye.
Well, there you have it. Again, you never know what direction this show is going to go in. Bob Arian, thanks a lot for the call. Out there at Area 51, keeping the world safe. And I got to agree, when it comes to Bob Arian, if I see him running away from something, I'm not even going to look at what he's running away from. I think it's just, you just start running. 347-838-9815 is the number to call. We've been all over the map tonight. Lots of stuff in the world of pro wrestling. One of the things that kind of hit the internet like wildfire this week. Interesting moment with Daniel Bryan, Randy Orton. Daniel Bryan, wound up being in a match with Orton, called the match due to injury, and then there was a confrontation backstage with one Triple H. From where here, and eventually cooler heads prevailed. But and now it seems like something that at least for a little bit of time, maybe just momentarily, they've used it as a storyline. But interesting series of events, Dave, this week with Daniel Bryan and Triple H.
Yeah. You know, watching it Monday night, I wasn't sure what to make of it. I kind of figured it was, you know, they've been, you know, real concussion heavy as far as, you know, guys getting hurt and, you know, also exploiting it and using it for storyline. So I thought it was for storyline, even to the point where on Monday night they promoted the, you know, the app like they normally do and mentioned the Triple H. And Daniel Bryan had a verbal confrontation, but from what I understand, it was pretty legit, and it was something that Daniel Bryan was pretty upset about, and it was not a storyline. But they covered it up pretty well, and now they're going forward with it. I don't think we'll see anything much further than that, other than you know, what we've heard. But it's possible that, you know, once eventually this McMahon's power struggle storyline ends, because from what I'm hearing, the storyline is that, you know, Triple H will take over and have power and control over Vince. That maybe he'll, you know, be somewhat of an authority figure on television again. And, you know, maybe we'll see him cross paths with Daniel Bryan at some point, you know. Who knows? But it was actually pretty interesting that, you know, from some accounts that I've read online, was that a lot of people were really surprised that Bryan had allegedly stood up to Triple H, and he was very upset that it was made, that the call was made to stop the match. But he understood at the same time too, from what I've read, you know, the severity of injuries and concussions and the way the business has changed. Yeah, I mean, it was an interesting development of news this week between the two of them, and I don't think we'll see anything much further than that, but, you know, down the road, maybe.
Yeah, I mean, it was interesting. You know, I got no problem with, you know, Triple H stopped the match. I mean, I know that there's reports that, you know, Daniel Bryan was saying that I know my body and I knew I wasn't hurt, but like you're saying, with concussions, and if you're experiencing numbness, I mean, I'm sorry, but you know, you just call it and err on the side of caution, and you know, it is what it is. But it, you know, it's a multi-billion-dollar company, and you know, someone having numbness, you have no idea what it is. And Daniel Bryan, you know, thank God that it wasn't anything, but you know, you stop the match. It was the right thing to do. I don't think there's any question about that. But I get it. You know, you're a competitor and you want to keep going. And I get the passion that Daniel Bryan has for the business, and that's probably why he flew off the handle. But, you know, hitting himself that hard and, you know, experiencing numbness or whatever was going on. I mean, and the thing is with him, whether it was concussion or concussion-like symptoms, or as we're hearing reports that it was a stinger, so there's probably some numbness. I mean, he didn't look right. You know, watching him on TV, there was just something. You know, it wasn't like, was it a pained expression? Was it, you know, something, you know, what was going on with him? But there was just something about what he was doing and how he was performing that just wasn't right. And, you know, I don't wrestle. I'm not, you know, I do this show. I don't wrestle for a living. I don't get in the ring. So I'm not going to pretend to understand exactly what these guys go through. Triple H has been. He's been in the ring. So, I mean, for me to be watching on TV saying, you know, something just doesn't look right about him, you know, Triple H has got far more experience of being in the ring, being hit, flying out of the ring, and being injured that, you know, he made the right call stopping the match. But interesting how I thought they used it effectively coming out and, you know, the way Daniel Bryan came out on SmackDown, I thought that was well done, and we'll see how they go moving forward with him and Randy Orton. Interesting stuff right there. 347-838-9815. And you know what? We've reached that portion in our program. You know what time it is.
The Ken Reedy Show, Nod of Approval.
Don't cry for me. me, Argentina. I'm doing enough crying for everybody. But I stand before you a proud, proud man. I'm on the road close to 200 nights a year to my beautiful wife, Jana. I think you'll see more of me than you want to. And to my son, Jacob, who's a fanatical wrestling fan. Some of y'all have seen him on Twitter. And my little girl, Joanna, I'm not made young, dummy. To my little girl, Joanna, who cries when I leave home.
Was there any doubt? Was there any doubt that this week's nod of approval, and we do this each and every week, something in the world of wrestling we watched, we enjoyed, we sat back on that couch, we nodded to ourselves, we've talked about it a bunch of times, it warrants more talking because we talked about it in a historical context. It was just that good. And last week, we were here on this show, and we're talking, wow, everything Daniel Bryan's doing is so amazing. Each and every night he's out there, he's wowing everybody. We're gonna have to make him ineligible for the nod of approval because he's blowing everyone away with everything he's doing. And lo and behold, Mark Henry comes out and says, no, stop right there because I'm going to top everybody with a kick-ass promo, getting him the nod of approval this week. There is no way anything else is going to get the nod. It is a collective nod for Dave and myself. Not enough good things to say about this. It was just a tremendous job. The WWE, creative, Mark Henry, if Heyman and Zeb Coulter were involved, whoever was involved in creating this segment with Mark Henry needs to be commended. It was one of the greatest segments I've ever seen. It was dramatic. It was entertaining. He took us on an emotional journey. Not enough great things to say about this moment, Dave.
Yeah, we all bought it, hook, line, and sinker. I mean, it was, you know, we talked about it Tuesday. You know, there were certain points where it made you question whether it was legit, you know, if it was a legitimate, you know, retirement or if this was part of a storyline. When he started crying and he brought up his family and, you know, he had a different demeanor about him. He wasn't, you know, it didn't look like he was playing a character, like his World's Strongest Man character. You know, he looked like he was, you know, the person, Mark Henry, you know. And it was, we've seen retirement speeches before, and it kind of, you know, drifted along the same lines of past retirement speeches, you know, from like Edge and Ric Flair and stuff like that. And I was, you know, I bought it. And I loved it. I loved the fact that I bought it because I felt like a kid again. I felt like I was watching on Saturday morning in my underwear at 10 o'clock in the morning, and then I got, you know, I got duped by somebody, and I'm like, oh my God, what just happened? Like, but I jumped up and I was like excited. I was like, that's what it's all about right there. That's what wrestling needs to be like, in my opinion. Unpredictability. You don't know where it's coming from, and it creates a lot of drama and leaves a lot of questions open as to why it happened. And I thought it was perfect. I thought it was well done. And from what I read, and I don't know how true this is, but from what I read, very few select people knew about that. with the exception of John Cena, Vince McMahon, Mark Henry, and whoever wrote that segment. I've heard that most of the boys in the back, in the locker room, did not know that that was going to take place, like that. They thought it was a legitimate, retirement. Like, you even saw, leading up to it, Darren Young from the Primetime Players was crying, visibly upset in the backstage area that, that Mark Henry was leaving. So it was well done, and, it's got me more interested I've always liked Mark Henry in recent years, in the past couple of years when he's, when he started this Hall of Pain thing and he had the run with the world title. And I've always been very interested in him, but now even more. I think he's close, like you said on Tuesday, Ken, I think he's close to retirement. I think this is one last big run for him and to make some good money with the top dog in the company, John Cena. And to be honest with you, I wouldn't mind seeing him have a short run with the title, to kind of reward him for all the work that he is that he's done in the WWE.
Oh, without question. I mean, I wouldn't mind seeing him have a run. It's everything involving this was just tremendous, and I've been a big fan of his as of late. And it's cool, you don't see it often, especially in athletics, where when someone does their best work later on, and he has. He's improved over time. His character now is amazing. His promos are great. It's just everything. And we've talked about it here a lot. As one of the worst things to happen to pro wrestling is the admission of it being sports entertainment, the admission of it being scripted. And you just... That shock value is not there anymore. That emotional journey is not there as much anymore because you kind of know what's going to happen. There are spoilers out there, all that other stuff that you just stuff's scripted. And, this kind of pulled us out of that for a little bit, thinking that it's not scripted, and then it turns out to be a work. So a tremendous job. It is a great moment. It would be something that I'd have to really pull myself back as far as what Dank called in and asked about perspective and historical perspective. But when I think of it, it's interesting. So when I think in terms of like the pipe bomb, my CM Punk, I mean, I put this right there with it. I do. I think it's right there with that promo. It was that good. It was one of those moments that, I think you're going to remember for a while, and it's something that's going to, I don't want to say define Mark Henry's career, but it's going to have a lot to do with defining your thoughts of him, especially on his way out, if this is, in fact, towards the end of the road. But I'm hoping, that they give him a shot. I would like to see him beat John Cena and have a short title run or a long title run, but I'd like to see what he does with it. Mark Henry as the WWE champ would be kind of cool. So kudos again. It's Mark Henry, but everyone creatively that was involved in making this moment and putting this moment together deserves a share of the credit. So everyone involved in the Mark Henry segment on Monday Night Raw, from Dave and myself, they get our nod of approval.
The Ken Reedy Show, nod of approval.
Oh, there you have it, man. Yeah, it's funny, Dave. I mean, we've had like 2 weeks in a row with our nods that really just over-the-top positivity, which is, it's cool to be a wrestling fan. I mean, we do this show every week, and we try to be objective here. But to be honest with you, Dave, sometimes we got to be critical of things when things aren't working, but I'd much rather talk about the stuff that I'm really enjoying and... not enough positive things to say about Daniel Bryan and Mark Henry this week, and getting to talk about Raw firing on all cylinders and a great, perhaps historically great Monday Night Raw, and just enjoying the young talent and enjoying the storylines and the mid-card and everything going on. I'm really enjoying being able to sit back here and talk with you and our listeners, our callers calling in, and getting to talk about positive stuff and good stuff, great stuff. It's a good time right now being a wrestling fan, Dave.
Absolutely. I think, and you and I have spoken in discussion about this, and you know, off the air in private, and you know, to our listeners, you know, we try to make this show, we try to make it fun, obviously, you know, and something that, you know, you would want to listen to, but we also try to be different than a lot of other, you know, entities out there. There's a lot of people out there with podcasts, wrestling, you know, related podcasts, and for the most part, you know, with all due respect to those individuals that have those podcasts out there, there's a lot of negativity. It's a lot of bashing, you know, and you watch the product and then you go on your show and you just totally rip it, and you talk about how you hate it, yet you still watch it. But it's the reason why you do one of them podcasts. We try not to do that here. There's times when you have to be critical. There's times when, you know, I have to be honest, and, you know, I mean, I'm honest all the time, but there's times when I have to be brutally honest about, you know, certain things that I didn't like, that just didn't jive with me, that, you know, came across, you know, the television, in particular episode of, you know, Raw or SmackDown or Impact, and, you know, and voice my opinion on it. But I enjoy doing this, and it's fun that we're getting to talk positively, and there's other, you know, our listeners can be involved, and, you know, we can brainstorm and, you know, banter and go back and forth, bounce off each other about different ideas and what they could do. But overall, it's been pretty positive lately, and I like it a lot, and I think that's what makes our show stand out from others, is that, you know, we're not here to bash the product. We're here to, you know, give a comprehensive, you know, recap, at the same time, opinions, fair, you know, nothing biased and nothing, you know, too critical, unlike other podcasts out there.
I never understood that, because why? I'd much rather, as a fan, be content and happy and entertained, and then come out and talk about being content and happy and entertained. Again, we're fair here. So if something's not working, we're going to discuss about it not working. But if I had my choice, obviously, if I had my choice as a fan, I'd rather Raw kicks ass every week than it be a 3-hour dirge. I mean, sometimes I think some guys like to watch, they're almost hoping for something to be bad. They're hoping for a match to suck so they can rip it apart. I mean, I'm hoping that this is a sign of things to come. I mean, I think that we've been moving in a very positive direction. I like the youth movement that we're seeing. You know, I think it's been really good. I think Raw and SmackDown have been really solid. So, you know, good stuff coming down the pike. And it was good being able to talk a little indie with FWE and HOH, and again, positive stuff. So I'd much rather that. I mean, ultimately, you know, we do this show, and we're talk show hosts, and that's what we're doing here. But we're ultimately fans. So I'd rather the shows be good than not be. I mean, that's just the way it is, and it's been fun being able to sit here and talk with you guys about positive stuff. We're getting close to the end. Thank you guys for tuning in tonight. Again, we're going to be off for about 10 days, so we'll be back a week from Tuesday doing our next show, talking wrestling. Obviously, I have a lot to talk about going into our next show. Quickly, Dave, where do you think they go with Punk and Lesnar going forward?
SummerSlam. I SummerSlam, big money match. They want, that's their second biggest pay per view of the year. Brock Lesnar helped draw, you know, a large portion of the buy rates last year. I think it'll be SummerSlam between the two, and I don't think we're going to see right away this Heyman Punk split. I think it's going to burn out for a little while, it's more believable that Brock Lesnar is the monster heel and CM Punk is the baby face, just by the size alone, because Brock Lesnar is just basically a big giant bully. And if you were to make him a babyface, that means you got to get rid of Heyman, and Brock Lesnar can't talk to save his life. Thank God he didn't talk in the microphone on Monday night. But I see a potentially good feud between two guys who can go in the ring. And of course you had Heyman on the microphone, and it should be damn good. You know, in SummerSlam, second biggest pay-per-view of the year, a big money match that a lot of people have wanted to see for a long time. And the two of them have kind of been separated from each other, despite the fact they've both been Paul Heyman's clients. It was bound to happen at some point. I'm glad it's going to happen at SummerSlam, at least as far as what I'm reading.
Yeah, it's going to be tremendous. And I'm curious to see how everything unfolds, how things unfold with Heyman and Punk. Looks like it could be a really interesting run, and getting very excited for a great summer of wrestling. guests and tuning in. We'll miss you guys. If you want to, you need your Ken Reedy Show fix, go over to the website or Blog Talk Radio, and you can check out some archived shows. When we come back, I'd love to see you guys post on the Facebook the burning question. Where do they go moving forward with Ryback? Where does that character go? Unsuccessful in capturing that WWE title, where exactly do they go with that character? We're going to have to delve into that, discuss that. Hopefully, in the upcoming week, we'll get some answers as far as where they're going with the Ryback character. But what do you guys think? Post on Facebook. It's vacation time. So it's been a great, great time. Looking forward to some time off. We'll miss doing this, and we'll be back a week from Tuesday. So it was a great show tonight. Calling in and supporting us. For Dave, I am Ken. Everyone be safe. Have a great 4th of July, and take care, everybody.